Now that's a parking spot.
Introducing the I may have underestimated the size of my car policy with accident forgiveness from American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote. Find an agent. Visit AmFam.com.
Optional policy features not included in base policies. Review policy for coverages and exclusions. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome to Audio Gyan with Kedar Nimkar, a podcast that documents insightful conversations with Indian designers, artists, musicians, writers, thinkers, and creatives of all types. Catch us on iTunes or visit audiogyan.com for more Gyan sessions. Here's your host, Kedar Nimkar.
Today, I have Isha Pimple Khare with us on Audio Gyan. Isha is a mixed media designer, artist who situates her work, her practice. I'll take it again. Today, I have Isha Pimple Khare with us on Audio Gyan. Isha is a mixed media designer, artist who situates her practice at the convergence of art and design, with focus on creating emotive and engaging tactile environments. She did her master's in textile from Royal College of Art, RCA, London, and then bachelor's of textile, before that, bachelor's of textile design at NID, Ahmedabad. For me, textile design is relatively new, so I've come up with some few basic questions to gain some beginner level understanding of this domain and obviously discuss few of her interesting projects which Isha has been exploring. So first of all, Isha, thank you for giving your time and welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Kedar. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
Okay. So as I said, I have like really basic questions just trying to understand what textile design is. And what I've tried to do over last 3 years is when I ventured into animation, it was a relatively new field for me. So the one with Vaibhav Kumaresh, I just tried to understand what's the landscape of animation in India. Mm-hmm. While when I discussed with Dimant Vyas, it was more of understanding what is stop motion animation. So getting nuances as in when the domain understanding improves. So with this, because I've been staying away from fashion or textile in general for a long time. So I've been following your work on Instagram and found to be interesting to start at a more nuanced level of textile in general. And that's where, so it will be like more basic understanding. So if I can ask you first, and if you can give context, is what is like a mixed media creative? I mean, like what sort of a person is this? What qualifies as a mixed media output?
Okay.
If you can start and then, yeah.
Traditionally, even if you kind of break down the word, mixed media basically means when you combine various materials, techniques, processes. So essentially, when you're creating a mixed media, when somebody titles their work as a mixed media output, they're essentially trying to say that they've used a mix of materials which are beyond the conventions of, you know how a furniture designer uses wood, and that's understood. So when you start breaking those boundaries and start using a mix of materials to create a certain kind of output, you normally call it a mixed media output. And I guess the word kind of comes from more of an artistic space, because generally mixed media outputs are generally paintings, objects, sculptures, installations. So that's where that word, in my opinion, is borrowed from the art space, really. So if that kind of answers your question entirely.
What sort of output do these design in your case? It's textile. So if you can help us understand the context of, you play with fabric, and then what's the extension?
Yeah.
Are you just experimenting with different forms of fabric, or maybe introducing some different domain altogether?
Yeah. So I think coming back to the word mixed media again, I think somewhere there is a sense of experimenting, there is a sense of breaking down boundaries and these compartments that you generally create for professions. And when it comes to textiles in specific, I mean, why the word mixed media stuck around with me was because I studied a specialization within textiles, which was called mixed media. So within the specialisms, we had quite a lot of freedom to really explore textiles in any which sense which, that we wanted to. So textiles generally is divided into wovens, print, knitwear, and then beyond that, I guess there's obviously much more that you can do with textiles, but these are generally the more formal, what do I say, compartmentalization of textiles. So mixed media comes in when your approach to textiles becomes a bit more out of these three contexts. So you might be working with textiles in conjunction with wood, for that matter, or textiles and creating objects and sculptures out of it, which could be a mix of really anything, rope and fabric and embroideries, for that matter. So what you're essentially doing is you're kind of mixing in different elements to bring together and tell a story, whatever it is that you're trying to convey. So from a textile perspective, I guess, I mean, a lot of people ask me, especially like my parents' age, there are always people asking me, like, what do you exactly do? And it's difficult for them to sometimes wrap their head around something which doesn't have a very clear-cut output. But I think what mixed media and mixed media in terms of textiles does is also to kind of help you create new avenues for yourself. So explore textile in a new light, for that matter. So what I was studying especially at RCA was combining textiles with motors. So bringing in a certain movement within a textile surface using motors. So my material and my techniques were quite varied, right, from doing surface manipulation and embroideries, some printing, and then kind of combining this with like heat setting fabric into different shapes, and then eventually connecting up them up with motors and then creating movement. So that's sort of, I don't know if that answers your question or I went really far away from it.
But that brings me to like a interesting question, and it could be slightly naive, but is it fair to say that these sort of fabrics which are, say, stain resistance, or fabrics which are fragrance, now these days we have that also, so are these outputs of some similar experiments which are happening behind the scene?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think textiles is a lot of the times textiles is looked at as a very aesthetic medium, where it's just a beautiful looking fabric. But there's a lot of other stuff people are doing, you know, like you mentioned. Again, these are a lot of chemical processes that you spoke about. But something as new as a field like biodesign, for that matter, there's a lot of textile designers working in that field too, where you're creating a completely new textile surface. I mean, you don't need to look at textile as something to do with cloth. When you look at textiles in a more broader sense, you're talking about a two-dimensional surface which holds properties of folding, bending, being able to be created into a 3D structure. So when you kind of expand the idea of textiles, it doesn't anymore become just a fabric that you wear on your body or sits in your couch, but it's actually a surface so anything that's a two-dimensional surface that's soft could essentially be called a textile. But it's that's my opinion of it.
And if you have any famous people who have done this sort of work, there has to be some sort of a pioneer or someone who's like a luminary in this field who influenced you in general, or this sort of discipline itself got its own stand. If you can highlight that, then maybe this could be just like a reference point for people to dig further.
Correct. I mean, somebody that comes from the top of my head is Iris van Herpen. So she's a Dutch fashion designer. She's quite young. She's just in her 30s right now, but she's done some phenomenal work. She's again a fashion designer, but the way she manipulates fabric and the way she drapes it around a body, it just creates a larger experience. So you're not looking at the model for this beautiful looking dress, but you're looking at the textile and what it actually does to the body, or the way it moves with the body, or the way it kind of flows. So that's something that's really inspiring for me. When you're no longer looking at the product, but you're looking at how that textile is adding to the entire experience of it all. So that's somebody that comes to mind quite immediately.
Yeah. And you have like sparked one more question on the same lines, which is, since you mentioned about not just body, but also like a couch or like anything. So it just opens up possibilities of thinking textile in a different format. So any like very distinct applications of this sort of a fabric or this sort of a material, how broad is the canvas? You can go from one extreme to the extreme. So like one extreme, which is very common in public opinion, would be like fashion design and the stuff that you wear. Can you take the other extreme and give us some insights ki yahan tak it's possible?
I mean, if I were to take it to an entirely intangible space, textiles being a very tangible medium, but I remember one of my batchmates back in RCA was exploring the idea of intimacy and how do you create intimate spaces in public spaces, right? And textile then becomes a very important messenger or almost a metaphor in that sense, because textile is associated with intimacy, warmth, the idea of belonging. So what I'm trying to say, I mean, I guess you were asking more in terms of application, but I feel that textiles has a lot to say as well and communicate as well. So that's a very intangible medium that you can get into.
Nee, matlab, what I was trying to ask you is ki jaise matlab right from your bed pe chalta hai, curtains pe rehta hai, like ye bahut basic I would say like very known stuff, right? But I don't know, like maybe fabric in the car or
In fact, I feel like textiles in that sense is quite a very versatile medium, and it's very up with the times, because today smart textiles is a big thing, you know. So no longer is textiles just about it's not just about it being an heirloom in your house or it being a sheet on your bed, but it's actually being used in the whole smart textile space as well, people have realized is that the material itself lends itself so well with integrating itself with technology even. So I guess if I were to say, that's sort of the spectrum of textiles, because if you think about it, textiles has been pretty much I'd say it's been with us ever since humanity existed. Like the idea of shelter and clothing was very integral to our existence, and cut to today when we're trying to find like new age and very futuristic solutions, textiles is still applicable, textiles is still relevant, and that's because of its strong material, you know, properties where it can integrate itself even with technology today. So I would say that's probably a large spectrum enough, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, a fun question is that, is Iron Man suit also a textile format?
No, I think it's a metal format.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's something which we wear, that's why, as in like a person wears.
So, yeah, correct. I mean, correct. Yeah. But I think maybe the joineries could be a textile format, because that would make it easy for the Iron Man to move around, I guess.
sure. Okay. Like obviously, if one is following you on Instagram, which I am, so like what are you exploring with these flowers and like different shapes with textures and various materials? I mean, I could slightly get a sense of when you said that you try and get more into textile plus mortar, But if you can elaborate on that, and what are these experiments that you are trying to explore?
Yeah, so I think the idea with creating kinetic textiles was born out of this realization that we of course live in these highly material environments, right? Like, we're not living in jungles and savannas anymore, but we're living in concrete jungles, and we're literally living a very material saturated life. But somewhere our intimacy with our material object is lacking. They're almost like static elements that occupy the space that you occupy. So I think that it was more born out of the need to kind of humanize these material spaces that we occupy. So at a more conceptual level, I was just looking at a piece of fabric and how can I bring in a certain level of engagement and a certain level of emotion onto a fabric. So that's where the idea started. And what I'm actually doing with this is kind of trying to give it these subtle movements and kind of actually trying to control these movements so that they display certain kind of emotions which we as humans can connect to. So even something as simple as a textile expanding and contracting, it's any layperson immediately connects it to breathing, and that creates a value and that creates an engagement with that material and that experience that you have. So I think that's where I'm kind of trying to get at, where I feel that materials needn't always be just static elements that occupy our space, but they could actually be participating elements that you can interact with and invest in and engage with. So, so what you see on Instagram, I guess, are just smaller experiments of this larger idea that I have. And what I'm trying to now do is, so there are two parts to it. Of course, you want to create a certain kind of movement, but of course, you need to understand what the textile can do. So it's firstly about creating a certain structure. So it may be pleating, or it may be a certain kind of origami fold, and then trying to understand how can you play with that fold and how can you create movement within it, and how can that be maybe reminiscent of a familiar experience that you've had. So maybe you look at something and then you think of something very familiar, but then it's a more material experience that you're having in front of you. So
Actually, you nailed it, because when I saw the breathing wala experience with one of the flowers, I think you were experimenting with, and that's where I decided to just connect with you and understand that what is this thing that you're building.
And
I could connect it with, because in Apple Watch you have that breathing which is almost like a flower which expands, and it almost gave me that sort of a feeling. So if I have to ask you, then what's or how does it apply in the I would say industrial world, or what sort of demand is there for this type of work, especially in India? I mean, where all it can be applied, and how is it being applied? Is any of your work being used in a particular way because of this experimentation work? If you can give that sense so that it will connect those two dots.
I'd say that right now, I think I've experimented with only it being an installation in a certain environment. So I think, of course, it has a value when it comes to an installation. It has value when it comes to being in an exhibition area, right? So that's pretty obvious applications of these, where you go to a certain space and actually experience something like this. But more in a commercial sense, I guess, of course, commercial space installations is where there is definitely a demand for this, because there are a lot of, I don't know anymore because of the coronavirus situation, but there are a lot of events that generally happen. And then at these events, you always need an engaging factor, or they always want what they call an Instagrammable output or an Instagrammable wall or whatever. So there is a demand there when it comes to creating these kind of experiences at an exhibition or a design show, or I did one at a fashion label launch. But beyond that, I think what I'm personally interested in is also how these could become elements that can integrate themselves as architectural pieces. So, and I think there's definitely a demand there as well. So, I mean, something as simple as these blooming structures, what if, I mean, I'm still working it out, but I'm thinking of kind of making them as products where people can actually just have a personalized piece on their wall, you know. So could this kinetic textile behavior, could it integrate itself with, you know, curtains for that matter? Could it become a curtain? So I think there is definitely an architectural demand for it as well. Nothing comes to mind that, and I'm personally trying to explore that space myself. So,
wow, interesting. Yeah, I mean, the moment you said architectural space and maybe interiors, it just opens up like a lot more possibilities. Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I'll take a small detour, and I wanted to ask you about the Devoré technique of printing. I could see that in your portfolio, and I was pretty intrigued by the overall output which was there in that black fabric which you did. So this is like a ad hoc question, but yeah, I just wanted to understand what that technique is,
yeah,
and what was the project also about.
Okay, so Devoré is a very age-old printing technique where it's basically an acid solution which eats up the cellulose in a fabric. So, for example, if you have a fabric which is part cotton, part polyester, and you treat it with Devoré, with the Devoré paste, what you essentially do is the paste eats away the cotton from the fabric. So what it was used for is to kind of create these patterns which played with transparency and opacity. So it's almost like taking a fabric, you screen print with the Devoré solution. And of course, you treat it later, and wherever the solution is applied, it eats away at the fabric. So you create this opacity and transparency within the same fabric and create patterns with it. I don't know if you can visualize what I'm saying, but that's what it essentially is. I mean, to kind of break it down more for you, imagine making like lace using fabric. So imagine having these random cutouts coming in on a piece of fabric. And that's only because you applied the acid solution on that part of the fabric, and it, due to the chemical reaction, it ate away the cellulose. So the Devoré technique is quite old, and people have been using it for very long, but I kind of started using it when I was back in NID, when I was doing one of my projects. And I kind of just changed up the technique a little bit, where I, instead of using a fabric which is a mix of cotton and polyester, I used an entirely cotton fabric and stitched over it with polyester threads. So what I essentially did was create a fabric which had only cotton on it, and then just put polyester threads on it, and then treated it with the Devoré solution, due to which it gave me a completely new textural output. So I think I've been working with that for quite some time now, and I often create art pieces with them take up commissions for them as well. So that's essentially what Devoré is about. Yeah.
Wow, it looks brilliant. I'm going to add this your link in the show notes anyways for people to refer.
Yeah, sure.
But then just to understand, like, there was some typography, then there was some text written on, and then some of them stayed, some of it went away. So when you said it's sort of a screen printing, do you mean that the text which is there was probably written in polyester, and then the rest was cotton?
Oh, no.
Is that understanding?
No. So if you were to look at any of the fabrics that I'm talking about, you see threads, right? Like in these empty spaces where the fabric's been eaten away, you see threads, right, which is keeping the fabric together. So that is essentially the polyester part. And the cotton that the...
Oh, okay. So, but the thread... the threads itself. The threads, I found it to be like a sort of a grid structure on which everything was kept. So I didn't realize there was thread, but I thought it's like sort of a metallic...
No.
Strands which are...
So those threads are basically stitch lines, which are stitched onto the fabric. So those being polyester, they even if you apply the solution on it, the polyester threads don't... remain unaffected, but the fabric on which the threads are stitched on, because the fabric is cotton, it gets eaten away and it disappears. Right. So that's what it essentially is.
Wow, brilliant. Yeah, I mean, I've just like these few questions to begin with. There's a lot more to be now. I have like more food for thought and more questions to be questioned, but. I'm always personally curious that these different sorts of experiment with textile, especially with clothes, which happen in these ramp walks and fashion walks where it happens, where they're just exploring, or I would say, I don't know, even call it exploiting the ways people can wear stuff. There's like maybe like 10 feet long gowns and some stuff on their head, and it's really different, which you never see on the road.
Okay. Right?
So what's going on there? Matlab, what happens? Matlab, I'm sure this must have been like a very simple debate which started, which must have started in these sort of communities. Ki kya kar kya rahe ye log? Matlab, so I'm genuinely curious to understand ki uska which part gets into the mainstream or gets into like Chandni Chowks of India.
Correct. So so what you're talking about, I mean, when you have a run or whatever the outfits that go on the runway, they're not always meant for wearing. They're many a times there to tell a story. So think of it as these are concept garments almost, which are walking down the runway, and they're trying to tell the larger story of what it is all about, you know. And then the wearable section of it, the wearables that they make, which are sold in stores, are always, like you say, subtler versions of it, right? But I think what the designer is always trying to do is, I guess this is again my opinion of it, but I think runway almost becomes like a space, like a free space to kind of really to explore and really push yourself to kind of create stuff, right? And whatever story or concept or inspiration that you have, you kind of take it to its extreme and actually extract it and actually put it out there. So you're not really meant to always wear the outfits that go down the runway, but what's important is what gets drawn from them and what trends are pulled from them, and what finally ends up at a Chandni Chowk could be 1% or 2% of what was shown on the runway, but it came from there. The thought and the idea came from there. So I think that's what it's about. Like, I think you finally have a larger idea from where you start drawing trends, and then those trends translate into outfits that you and me wear, you know. So that's how it works.
Wow, brilliantly put. I mean, I was just going to ask you like a further explanation, that when you look at these concept cars, or when you look at some cutting edge work done in some different domains, like even Elon Musk thinking of like moving to Mars, right? And these are really blue sky ideas. I always used to wonder that, matlab, where is it, like grassroots level pe kab aayega aur kaise aayega, is was my genuine question. But I think you've like established it nicely, saying that maybe 1 or 2% depending on the domain where people are aspirational, or they have that aspiring
feeling. I think the idea always needs to take root, right? Something like going to Mars, even unless the idea takes root, it won't grow. So for that idea to really take root first, you need to kind of have these really almost obnoxious sometimes, you know, ideas coming out, which finally make sense eventually when they kind of sit with you and take root. So that's what it essentially is, I guess.
Wow. Cool. Cool. One last question, which is sort of a personal one. What made you pick this domain? I mean, what made you cross these boundaries or just explore this medium? I mean, or because I'll give you a background why I'm asking this as well. Because a lot of times I've interviewed with furniture designers and interior designers and sometimes painters as well, right? There is a lot of painters try their hand at, say, sculptor as well.
Mm.
So they want to move from one domain to other, maybe because the expression is still not manifesting the way they want it. So on that line, I want to understand ki, where did this all start from? I mean, what made you push these boundaries or trying to push these boundaries?
I think I never liked compartmentalizing things. Like, I didn't ever like the tag of just a textile designer, because I mean, if you personally ask me, I'm still at a stage where I'm still growing and establishing myself and understanding what my practice is about. So I think moving from one medium to another, I don't think it was a very conscious decision. It was more, it's more about something I wanted to do, because I wanted to say something which maybe couldn't have been possible just with textiles. So I mean, when you say that a painter moves to, you know, doing sculpture because they don't find the previous medium good enough, I don't think it's that. It's there. Anybody is always trying to tell the same story because it's coming from that one person. So what that output could be in the form of a painting or a sculpture, you're still trying to say the same thing, or it's probably an extension of the same thought that you had while painting. So it's you don't look at these moving from one medium to the other as separate from one another, but you kind of look sometimes I look at them as almost like bouncing boards, you know, like I keep bouncing off one or bouncing off the other and then coming back to the same one again. So I think they for me, doing a textile art piece or doing a kinetic sculpture or doing something with photo editing for that matter, it all for me belongs to the same story or the same line of thought that I'm trying to tell. So I don't know. I don't always think it's a very conscious decision ki, oh, now I want to work with wood, or, you know. So it just happens in the process of it, where you're working with textiles and you think that, okay, I'm making a structure, and I'm like, okay, maybe if I use a wooden structure here, it'll help make the structure stand, for that matter. So it just becomes, it's more about what you have in mind and achieving that. That becomes more important than the tools that you're using, I guess.
Correct. Yeah. All right. I think, this is a good note to end this first part, at least, and my journey to understanding textile. If people have to follow your work, what's the best way? And,
I think, Instagram? Instagram probably is the best way at the moment. So you can follow me at @IshaPimpalKhare. And that's where I generally am most active at the moment. So, yeah.
Cool. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot for giving your time. It was wonderful talking to you. All the best for your future projects. And thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. And this was great. Thanks a lot.
And that's it from today's Gyan session. Catch us on iTunes, Saavn, Stitcher, or any podcasting app you use. Do rate us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Stay tuned for more Gyan on audiogyan.com. Till then, bye.
At Speedway, we've always been here to get you what you need when you need it. We're committed to keeping our stores open, clean, and safe, so you can stay fueled and refreshed all summer long. We've got cold drinks for hot days and frozen drinks for even hotter ones, plus energy boosts, quick bites, and pick-me-ups. We're always on your way, and we're always here for you. So no matter what you need, when you stop by, we'll be ready. Now buy any three cooler beverages and get 500 bonus Speedy Rewards points.